First, we got to find out where we are docked. Let's take a bearing on this place.
Red Tooth held up his claw.
The Church of St. Ninian, Chief. It says so on the notice board over yonder.
Well, no matter. It'll do as a berth until we find something better. Fangburn! Cheese Thief!
Chief!
Scout the area. See if you can find a better lodging for us than this heap of rubble. Trail back to the west. I think we bust a big place on the way.
Aye, Chief.
Frogbloods! Scornos!
Chief!
Take 50 soldiers and see if you can round up any rats that know the lie of the land. Get big, strong rats. But bring along weasels, stoats, and ferrets, too. They'll do at a pinch. Mind now, don't stand for arguments. Smash their dens up so they won't have homes to worry about. If any refuse to join up, then kill them there and then. Understood?
All clear, Chief.
Ragir, man's fur. Take 20 rats and forage for supplies. The rest of you get inside a church. Red Tooth, Dark Lord, check the armor. See if there are things about that we can use as weapons. Iron spike railings, there's usually enough of them around the churchyard. Jump to it!
Clooney had arrived. Chapter 7. Matthias had never stayed up all night in his life. He was just a bit tired, but strangely excited. Great events seemed to have been set in motion by his news. Immediately upon being informed of the Haycart incident, the abbot had insisted upon calling a special council meeting of all Redwall creatures. Once again, Cavern Hall was packed to the doors, but this time it was for a purpose very different from the feast. Constance and Matthias stood in front of the council of elders. All about them was a hum of whispers and muttering. Abbot Mortimer called order by ringing a small bell.
Pay attention, everyone. Constance and Matthias, would you please tell the council what you saw tonight on the road to St. Ninian's?
As clearly as they could, the badger and the young mouse related the incident of the rat-infested haycart. The council began questioning them.
Rats, you say, Matthias? What type of rat?
Big ones, though I'm afraid I couldn't say what kind they were or where they'd come from.
What about you, Constance?
Well, I remember that my old grandad once knew a sea rat. Going by his description, I'd say that's what they looked like to me.
And how many would you say there were of these rats?
Couldn't say for sure, Father Abbot. There must have been hundreds.
Matthias?
Oh, yes, Father. I'd agree with Constance. At least 400.
Did you notice anything else about them, Constance?
Indeed I did, Father Abbot. My badger senses told me right off that these were very bad and evil rats.
The badger's statement caused uproar and shouts of nonsense, pure speculation. And that's right, give a rat a bad name. Without even thinking, Matthias raised a paw and shouted aloud.
Constance is right. I could feel it myself. There was one huge rat with a ferret skull on a pole. I got a good look at him. It was like seeing some horrible monster.
In the silence that followed, the abbot rose and confronted Matthias. Stooping slightly, he stared into the young mouse's bright eyes.
Think carefully, my son. Was there anything special you noticed about this rat?
Matthias thought for a moment. Everyone was watching him.
He was much bigger than the others, Father.
What else? Think, Matthias.
I remember. He only had one eye.
Right or left?
Left, I think. Yes, it was the left, Father.
Now, can you recall anything about his tail?
I certainly can. It must have been the longest tail of any rat alive. He held it in his claw as if it were a whip.
The abbot paced up and down before turning to the assembly.
Twice in my lifetime I have heard travellers speak of this rat. He bears a name that a fox would be afraid to whisper in the darkness of midnight. Clooney the Scourge!
A deathly hush fell upon the creatures in Cavern Hall. Clooney the Scourge? Surely not. He was only some kind of folk legend, a warning used by mothers when youngsters were fractious or disobedient. Go to sleep, or Clooney will get you. Eat up your dinner, or Clooney will come. Come in this instant, or I'll tell Clooney. Most creatures didn't even know what Clooney was. He was just some sort of bogey that lived in bad dreams and the dark corners of imagination. The silence was broken by scornful snorts and derisive laughter. Furry elbows nudged downy ribs. Mice were beginning to smile from sheer relief. Clooney the Scourge, indeed. Feeling slightly abashed, Matthias and Constance looked pleadingly towards the abbot for support. Abbot Mortimer's old face was stern as he shook the bell vigorously for silence.
Mice of Redwall, I see there are those among you who doubt the word of your abbot.
The quiet but authoritative words caused an embarrassed shuffling from the council elders. Brother Joseph stood up and cleared his throat.
Good Father Abbot, we all respect your word and look to you for guidance, but really, I mean...
Sister Clemens stood up smiling. She spread her paws wide.
Perhaps Clooney is coming to get us for staying up late.
A roar of laughter greeted the ironic words. Constance's back hairs bristled. She gave an angry growl, followed by a fierce bark. The mice huddled together with fright. Nobody had ever seen a snarling, angry badger at a council meeting. Before they could recover, Constance was up on her hind legs, having her say.
I've never seen such a pack of empty-headed ninnies. You should all be ashamed of yourselves, giggling like silly little otter cubs that have caught a beetle. I never thought I'd live to see elders of Redwall acting in this way.
Constance hunched her heavy shoulders and glared about with a ferocity that set them trembling.
Now you listen to me. Take heed of what your Father Abbot has to say. The next creature who utters one squeak will answer to me. Understand?
The badger bowed low in a dignified manner, gesturing with her massive blunt paw.
The floor is yours, Father Abbot.
Thank you, Constance, my good and faithful friend. I have little more to say on the subject, but as I see that you still need convincing, here is my proposal. We will send two mice out to relieve the gatehouse. Let me see. Brothers Rufus and George, would you kindly go and take over from Brother Methuselah? Please send him in here to me. Tell him to bring the Traveller's Record volumes. Not the present issue, but the old editions which were used in past years.
Rufus and George, both solid-looking, sensible mice, took their leave with a formal bow to the abbot. Through a high-slitted window, Matthias could see the rosy pink and gold fingers of dawn stealing down to Cavern Hole as the candles began to flicker and smoke into stubs. All in the space of a night, events had moved from festivity to a crisis, and he, Matthias, had taken a major role in both. First the big grailing, then the sighting of the cart. Large happenings for a small mouse. Old Brother Methuselah had kept the Abbey records for as long as any creature could remember. It was his life's work and consuming passion. Besides the official chronicle of Redwall, he also kept his own personal volume, full of valuable information. Travelling creatures, migratory birds, wandering foxes, rambling squirrels and garrulous hares, they all stopped and chatted with the old mouse, partaking of his hospitality, never dreaming of hurting him in any way. Methuselah had the gift of tongues. He could understand any creature, even a bird. He was an extraordinary old mouse who lived with the company of his volumes in the solitude of the gatehouse. Seated in the Father Abbot's own chair, Methuselah took his spectacles from a moss-barked case, carefully perching them on the bridge of his nose. All gathered around to hear as he opened a record book and spoke in a squeak barely above a whisper.
My Lord Abbot Cedric is it Cedric, isn't it? Oh, botheration, you'll be the new Abbot Mortimer, the one who came after Cedric, oh dear me. I see so many of them come and go, you know. My Lord Abbot Mortimer and members of Redwall, I refer to a record of winter 6 years aback. Yes, here it is. Late in November, year of the small sweet chestnut. From a frozen sparrowhawk come down from the far north. A peculiar chap spoke with a strange accent. I repaired his right wing pin feather. News of a mine disaster caused by a large savage sea rat with an extraordinary tail. It seems that this rat, Clooney they called him, wanted to settle his army in the mine. The badgers and other creatures who owned the mine drove them out. Clooney returned by night, and with his band of rats gnawed away and undermined much of the wooden shoring. This caused the mine to collapse the next day, killing the owners.
Brother Methuselah closed the volume and looked over his glasses at the assembly.
I have no need to read further. I can recite other misdeeds from memory. As the hordes of Clooney the Scourge have moved southwards over the past 6 years, I have gathered intelligence of other incidents. A farmhouse set alight later that same year. Piglets, an entire litter of them eaten alive by rats. Sickness and disease spread through livestock herds by Clooney's army. There was even a report brought to me 2 years ago by a town dog. An army of rats stampeded a herd of cows through a village, causing chaos and much destruction.
Methuselah halted and blinked over his spectacles.
And you dare doubt the word of our abbot that Clooney the Scourge exists? What idiotic mice you are, to be sure.
Methuselah's words caused widespread consternation. There was much agitated nibbling of paws. Nobody could doubt he spoke the truth. He was already old and wise when the most elderly among them was a blind, hairless mite, puling and whimpering for a feed from its mother.
Oh, my whiskers, what a mess.
Hadn't we better pack up and move?
Maybe Clooney will spare us.
Oh, dear, what shall we do?
Matthias sprang to the middle of the floor, brandishing his staff in a way that surprised even him.
Do? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll be ready.
The abbot could not help shaking his head in admiration. It seemed that young Matthias had hidden depths.
Why, thank you, Matthias. I could not have put it better myself. That's exactly what we will do. We'll be ready.
Chapter 8. Clooney the Scourge was having nightmares. He had lain down in the church mouse's bed for a well-earned rest, while his army was going about its allotted tasks. He should never have tried to sleep on an empty stomach, but weariness overcame his hunger. In Clooney's dream, everything was shrouded in a red mist. The cries of his victims rang out as barns blazed, and ships foundered on a stormy red sea. Cattle bellowed in pain as he battled with the pike that had taken his eye. The warlord thrashed about, killing, conquering, and laying waste to all in his dream. Then the phantom figure appeared. At first it seemed a small thing, a mouse, in fact, dressed in a long hooded robe. Clooney did not relish meeting with it. He could not tell why, but the mouse kept getting closer to him for the first time in his life. He turned and ran. Clooney went like a bat out of hell. Glancing back, he saw all the carnage, death and misery he had caused in his career. The big rat laughed insanely and ran faster, on and on past scenes of desolation and destruction wreaked by him. Clooney the Scourge. Floating through the red mists, he could still see the strange mouse hard on his heels. Clooney felt himself filled with hatred for his pursuer. It seemed to have grown larger. Its eyes were cold and grim. Deep inside, Clooney knew that even he could not frighten this oddly garbed mouse. Now it was wielding a large bright sword, an ancient weapon of terrible beauty. The battle-scarred blade had a word written upon it that he could not make out. Sweat dripped from Clooney's claws like stinging acid. He stumbled. The strange figure was closer. It had grown into a giant. Clooney's lungs felt as if they were bursting. He realized that he had slowed up, and the mouse was getting closer. He tried tried to put on an extra burst of speed, but his legs would not obey. They ran more and more slowly, more and more heavily. Clooney cursed aloud at his leaden limbs. He saw he was trapped in deep icy mud. For the first time, he knew the meaning of mindless fear and panic. He turned slowly. Too late! The enemy was upon him. He was rooted helpless to the spot. The avenging mouse swung the sword up high. A million lights flashed from its deadly blade as it struck. Bong! The loud toll of the distant Joseph Bell brought Clooney whirling back from the realms of nightmare to cold reality. He shivered, wiping the sweat from his face with a shaky claw, saved by the bell. He was puzzled. What did the fearful dream mean? Clooney had never been one to put his faith in omens, but this dream, it had been so lifelike and vivid that he shuddered. A timid paw tapping on the door snapped Clooney from his reverie with a start. It was Ragged and Mangefair, his scavengers. They slunk into the room, each trying to hide behind the other, knowing that the poor results of their search were likely to incur the chief's wrath. Their assumption was correct. Clooney's baleful eye watched them as his long, flexible tail sorted through the paltry offerings which had dropped from their claws. A few dead beetles, two large earthworms, some unidentifiable vegetation, and the pitiful carcass of a long-dead sparrow. Clooney smiled at Ragir and Mangefair. With a sigh of relief, they grinned back at him. The chief was in a good mood. At lightning speed, the big rat's claw shot out and grabbed them both cruelly by the ears. The stupid hench rats yowled piteously as they were lifted bodily from the floor and swung to and fro. In a fit of rage, Clooney bashed their heads together. Half senseless, they were hurled toward the doorway, with his angry words ringing in their skulls.
Beetles! Worms! Rotten sparrows! Get me meat! And the young red meat! Next time you bring me rubbish like this, I'll spit the pair of you and have you roasted in your own juice. Is that clear?
Mangefair pointed an accusing claw at his companion.
Please, Chief, it was Raggy's fault. If we'd gone across the fields instead of up the road...
Don't believe that big fat liar, Chief. It was him who suggested going up the road, not me.
Get out!
The scavengers dashed off, bumping clumsily into each other with panic as they tried to get through the door together. Clooney slumped back on the bed and snorted impatiently. Frogblood and Scumnose were next to report. They bore news that cheered Clooney up somewhat. They'd obtained over 100 new recruits, mainly rats, but with a good scattering of ferrets and weasels and the odd stoat. There had been some who needed convincing. These had been press-ganged by a savage beating from Frogblood, coupled with the threat of horrible death. They were soon convinced that the wisest course was to enlist in Clooney's horde. Others were hungry nomads, only too willing to join up with the infamous Clooney. They were greedy for plunder and booty, and pleased to be on what they were sure would be the winning side. Lined up in the churchyard, the recruits were supplied with weaponry by Redtooth and Darkclaw. Impassively, they stood in ranks, awaiting the warlord's inspection. Clooney nodded his approval. Scurvy rats, hungry ferrets, sly weasels, bad stoats, exactly what he needed.
Read in the articles, Redtooth.
Redtooth swaggered back and forth on the churchyard paving as he recited the formula from memory.
Right. Eyes front. You're in the service of Clooney the Scourge now, me buckos. Desert and you'll be killed. Retreat and you're under sentence of death. Disobey and you'll die. I'm Redtooth, Clooney's number one rat. You will obey the word of your captains. They take orders from me. I take orders from Clooney, remember that. Now, if any one, two, or a group, or even all of you together want to try and beat Clooney and lead the horde, this is your chance.
Without warning, Clooney charged headlong into the new recruits, lashing out wildly with his scourging tail. He bowled them left, right and centre with his massive strength, baring his teeth and slitting his eye. He whipped fiercely away until they fell back and scattered in disorder, hiding behind gravestones. Clooney threw back his head and roared with laughter.
Ah, no good, sir. Just that as well. I don't want dead ones on my claw before I find a proper battle for you to fight. And make no mistake, when the right time comes, I'll see you fight. Aye, and die too. Now, raise your weapons, and let's see if you know who your master is.
A motley collection of evil-looking implements was framed by the cloudless sky as wild cries rang out from the newly inducted recruits.
Clooney! Clooney! Clooney the Scourge!
Chapter 9. Abbot Mortimer and Constance the Badger meandered through the grounds together. Both creatures were deep in thought. Had they spoken and voiced their thoughts, they would have mentioned the same subject, the safety of Redwall. Down long ages, the beautiful old abbey had stood for happiness, peace, and refuge to all. Diligent mice tended the neat little vegetable patches, which every season gave forth an abundance of fresh produce. Cabbages, sprouts, marrows, turnips, peas, carrots, tomatoes, lettuces, and onions, all in their turn. Flower beds, heady and fragrant with countless varieties of summer blooms, from rose to humble daisy, were planted by the mice and husbanded by the hard-working bee folk, who in their turn rewarded Redwall with plentiful supplies of honey and beeswax. The two friends wandered onwards, past the pond. Early morning sunlight glinted off the water, throwing out ripples from the fish caught by the overnight lines, which were baited and left adrift each evening by Brother Alf. Ahead of them lay the berry hedges, raspberry, blackberry, bilberry, and the strawberry patch, where every August sleepy baby creatures could be seen, their stomachs full after eating the pick of the crop. Gradually, they made their way around the big old chestnut trees into the orchard. This was the abbot's favourite spot. Many a leisurely nap had he taken on sunny afternoons, with the aroma of ripening fruit hovering in his whiskers, apples, pears, quince, plums, damsons, even a vine of wild grape on the warm red stone of a south-facing wall. Old Mother Nature's blessing lay upon a haven of warm friendliness. Now, with the threat of Clooney upon Redwall, the two old friends assessed the beauteous bounty of their lifelong abode. Sweet bird song on the still air tinged Constance's heart with sorrow and regret that this peaceful existence would soon pass. Gruffly, she snuffled deep in her throat, blinking off a threatening teardrop. The abbot sensed his companion's distress. He patted the badger's rough coat with a gentle paw.
There, there, old girl, don't fret. Many times in our history has tragedy been forestalled by miraculous happenings.
Constance grunted in agreement, not wishing to disillusion her trusting old friend. Deep within her, she knew a dark shadow was casting itself over the abbey. Furthermore, it was happening in the present, not in bygone days of fabled deeds. Matthias seated himself to an early breakfast in Cavern Hall. Nut bread, apples, and a bowl of fresh goat's milk. Cornflower, along with other woodland creatures granted sanctuary, was sleeping in makeshift quarters provided by the good mice of Redwall. Matthias felt that he had grown up overnight. Duty was a mantle that he had taken willingly upon his shoulders. If there were a threat to Redwall from outside, it must be dealt with. The mice of Redwall were peaceful creatures, but that must not be taken as a sign of weakness. Stolidly, he munched away as he confronted the problem.
Eat heartily, Matthias. No point in facing trouble on an empty stomach. Feed the body, nourish the mind.
The young mouse was surprised to see that old Brother Methuselah had been watching him, his eyes twinkling behind the curious spectacles he invariably wore. The ancient mouse sat down at the breakfast table with a small groan.
Oh, don't look so surprised, young one. Your face is an open book to one of my years.
Matthias drained the last of the milk from his bowl, wiping cream from his whiskers with the back of a paw.
Give me your advice, Brother Methuselah. What would you do?
The old mouse wrinkled his nose.
Exactly the same thing as you would. That is, if I were younger and not so old and stiff.
Matthias felt he had found an ally.
You mean you would fight?
Of course I would. It's the only sensible course to take.
He paused and stared at Matthias in an odd manner.
You know, there's something about you, young fella. Did you ever hear the story of how Martin the Warrior first came to Redwall?
Matthias leaned forward eagerly.
Martin? Tell me, brother. I love hearing about the warrior monk.
Methuselah's voice dropped to a secretive whisper.
It is written in the great chronicle of Redwall that Martin was very young to be such a warrior. He could have been the same age as yourself, Matthias. Like you, he was impulsive and had a great quality of youthful innocence about him when he first came to our abbey. But it is also written that in times of trouble, Martin had the gift of a natural leader, a command over others far superior to him in age and experience. The chronicle says that they looked to Martin as some look to a strong father.
Matthias was full of wonderment, but he could not help feeling puzzled.
Why do you tell all this to me, Brother Methuselah?
The old mouse stood up. He stared hard at Matthias for a moment. Then, turning, he shuffled slowly off. As he went, he called back over his shoulder.
Because, Matthias, because he was very like you.
Before the young mouse could question the old one further, the Joseph Bell tolled out a warning. Sandals flapping, Matthias dashed out into the grounds, nearly colliding with the abbot and Constance, who, like everyone else, were heading for the gatehouse. Brothers Rufus and George had an incident to report. A large, evil-looking rat, covered in tattoos and carrying a rusty cutlass, had turned up at the gate. He had tried to gain entry by pretending he was injured, limping about. The rat explained that he had been in a haycart that overturned into the ditch. Would they come with him and render assistance to his friends, many of whom were lying trapped beneath the cart, crying out for help? Brother Rufus was no fool.
How many rats were travelling in the cart altogether?
Oh, a couple of hundred,
came the glib reply. Then why, reasoned Brother Rufus, did the rats not give aid to their own companions? Surely all 200 were not trapped. The rat evaded the question and made a great show of rubbing his injured leg. Could they not take him in and dress his wound and perhaps give him a bite to eat at least? Brother George agreed, on condition that the rat surrendered his weapon. The rat made as if to do so, then suddenly lunged at Brother George, only to be sent sprawling by a blow from Brother Rufus's staff. Realising that he was up against two big competent mice who would stand no nonsense, he became abusive and bad-mouthed.
Ha! Just you wait, mice. There's a whole army of us camped down in the church. When I tell Clooney how you treated me, ho-ho, just wait, that's all. We'll be back, by the fang we will.
With that, he slunk off, cursing all mice. The grim news was digested in silence by the assembled creatures. Mrs. Church Mouse began sobbing.
Oh, dearie me! Did you hear that, my dear? They must be living in our home at St. Ninian's Church. Oh, whatever shall we do? Our dear little home, full of dreadful rats.
Mr. John Church Mouse tried to comfort his wife as best he could.
There, there. Hush now, missus. Better to lose a house than lose our lives. A good job we got sanctuary here at Redwall.
But what about the other creatures in the area?
Sensible mouse. Is Ambrose Spike anywhere about? He'd better do the rounds and tell them to take sanctuary here at the abbey as quickly as possible. Spike'll come to no harm. Once he curls up, there's nothing can touch him.
This idea was greeted with enthusiasm. Brother Alf went off to find the hedgehog. The abbot suggested they all go inside the abbey and await further developments. Matthias piped up again.
We'd best mount a guard on the walls.
One of the older mice, Sister Clemence, chided Matthias as an upstart. Her voice was stern and condescending.
Novice, Matthias. You will be silent and do as your abbot commands.
Much to everyone's surprise, the abbot came to Matthias's defence.
One moment, Clemence. Matthias speaks sense. Let us hear what he has to say. We are none of us too old to learn.
All eyes were turned on the young mouse, as Matthias heard himself boldly outline his plans for the defence of Redwall. It was 11 o'clock on that glorious June morning. Mossflower Wood and the meadowlands stirred to the brazen voice of the great Joseph Bell. John Church Mouse heaved on the bell rope as he had been told to by Constance and Matthias. Bong, boom, bong, boom. Even the small creatures in wood and field, who could understand no language save their own, knew what it meant. Time of danger, place of sanctuary. Carrying what simple belongings they needed, woodlanders and the families hurried from far and near to gain the safety of the abbey before the storm of Clooney broke upon them. Squirrels, mice, voles, moles, otters, all save the birds of the air, who were safe anyway. Up the long dusty road they came, mothers protectively herding young ones, while fathers provided a rear guard. Brother Methuselah stood at the gate with the abbot. He translated fully to each group of creatures the abbot's message, in turn construing back to the father abbot the grateful thanks with pledges of help and loyalty to Redwall Abbey. For what creature had not been freely given the aid and special knowledge of the kindly mice? All knew that they owed their very existence to the abbot and his community. Healing, aid, food, shelter, and good advice were granted to all. Now was the time to unite and repay, to give any help that was possible. Before much longer, Redwall would require the skills and knowledge of all its woodland allies. They would be gratefully given. Matthias and Constance stood on top of the high perimeter walls, watching the road. It was noon, and the sun shone directly overhead. Despite the heat, Matthias had ordered all the mice to put on their hoods. It served a double purpose, to shield their eyes from the sun and create a camouflage effect. Silently each one stood, armed with a stout staff. The high red sandstone walls were far too lofty to be scaled by any normal creature. Instinctively, Matthias knew this was a good defence and a formidable deterrent. Constance could feel her hackles beginning to prickle. She sniffed the air and shivered, despite the heat that shimmered in waves across the meadowlands. The big badger nudged Matthias.
Listen to that.
Matthias pricked up his ears and looked at her, questioning.
Even the birds have stopped singing.
The young mouse gripped his staff tighter.
Yes, it's the silence we can hear. The grasshoppers have gone quiet.
Constance peered down the road as she spoke.
Strange for a summer day, little friend.
Bong! Every creature standing on the ramparts twitched with fright as the loud voice of the Joseph Bell rang out and John Church Mouse shouted from his position high in the belfry.
They're coming down the road. I can see them. I can see them.
Chapter 10. Clooney's army halted at the sound of the Joseph Bell. As the dust settled, Fangburn looked to his leader for approval.
They're ringing that big bell again, Chief. Maybe they think it'll frighten us off.
The warlord's eyes rested balefully on his scout.
Shut at your mouth, fool! If you'd done as I ordered and come right back to report the way Cheese Thief did, we might have been inside that abbey by now.
Fangburn slunk back into the ranks. He hoped Clooney had forgotten. But Clooney rarely forgot anything on a campaign. The element of surprise had been lost. Now he must try another ploy. The show of force, the mere sight of a fully armed horde, had worked before, and he had little doubt it would prove effective now. Ordinary, peaceful creatures were usually panic-stricken at the sight of Clooney the Scourge at the head of his army. The rat was a cunning general, except the times when his mad rage took control of him. But what need of berserk fits for a bunch of silly mice? Clooney knew the value of fear as a weapon, and Clooney was a fearsome figure. His long, ragged black cloak was made of bat wings, fastened at the throat with a mole skull. The immense war helmet he wore had the plumes of a blackbird and the horns of a stag beetle adorning it. From beneath the slanted visor, his one eye glared viciously out at the abbey before him. Matthias's voice rang out sharp and clear from the high parapet.
"Halt! Who goes there?"
Red Tooth swaggered forward and took up the challenge in his chief's name as he called back up at the walls.
"Look well, old creatures. This is the mighty horde of Clooney the Scourge. My name is Red Tooth. I speak for Clooney, our leader."
Constance's reply was harsh and unafraid.
"Then speak your peace and begone, rats."
Silence hung upon the air while Red Tooth and Clooney held a whispered conference. Red Tooth returned to the walls.
"Clooney the Scourge says he will not deal with badgers. He will only speak with the leaders of the mice. Let us in, so that my chief may sit and talk to your chief."
Red Tooth dodged back as his request was greeted by howls of derision and some loose pieces of masonry from the ramparts. These plump little mice were not as peaceful as they first looked. The rats looked to Clooney, but he was eyeing the abbot who had joined Constance and Matthias. They appeared to be consulting quietly. Clooney watched tensely. There seemed to be some disagreement between the old mouse and his two advisers. They conferred a while. Then Matthias came forward to the parapet. He pointed at Clooney and Red Tooth with his staff.
"You there, and you also. My abbot will talk with you both. The rest must remain outside."